Tonight we're broadcasting live from the oldest theater in San Francisco, the Bayview Opera House. Give it up for the Bayview Opera House, everybody. In San Francisco's last black neighborhood! It's kind of a weird thing to cheer, but thank you, everybody. Give it up for our band tonight, Mino Yancey! Sort of a strange thing, they were on our last show, but I didn't know it, because last show we had a group called Soul Development on, and apparently this is the backing group for Soul Development. Do I have that right, everybody over there? Okay, good. So this is the backing group, and apparently that was just one big band, but they were so great, we're like, we'll bring half this band back. So give it up for Mino Yancey, everybody, making their second appearance on Come Out Right Now. As you all know, this show is about what's happening right now. We have some very special guests with us tonight to help us talk about what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. No offense to crazy. Tonight, our guests are poet, actress, and activist Kat Brooks. Music critic and author Jeff Chang. And one of San Francisco's best and one of my favorite comedians, Natasha Muse. Give it up for all three of them. And as we do on Come Out Right Now, we want to hear from you listening on the radio and in the audience here at the Bayview Opera House. So please, in this social situation, you're allowed to pull out your phone, tweet your thoughts, your questions, your concerns. You're allowed to fact check us, which many of you will, because we know how you are in this audience. Actually, I know, yes. So please tweet us directly at Come Out Right Now and use the hashtag Come Out Now. Give it up for yourselves for coming out, everybody. Wow, so much is happening in the world, so much to discuss. Right now I'm thinking about a couple things happened. I just found out today, Chris Cornell died, everybody. Lead singer of Soundgarden. That was my Seattle band. I know there was Nirvana and the rest of them, but that was my band. I was listening to that all day. You know, a lot of celebrity deaths. Like, I don't get affected by a lot of them. I don't want to take part in the public mourning, but that one I did. You know, and the goodness that Chris Cornell took with him from the world, I guess was balanced out by the death of Roger Ailes from Fox News, who took his evilness with him. Although, did he die, or was it like one of those, my work here is done, and he like apparated, now that Trump is president, my work here is done on this temporal plane. Was that sulfur I smell? Yeah, Roger Ailes. Thank you, one person, for clapping. Not such, too late. I just can't, it's so much to talk about, it's so much, I'm being broken by the news and our president. I think this is the, like, there's nothing that's going to top this moment that happened a couple weeks ago when President Trump, your president, hashtag your president, hashtag I don't know him, Donald Trump said, he was interviewed, and he basically said, it's harder to be president than he thought. Not as hard as it is for us to watch you being president, quite frankly. You think it's hard from your side. You think you're having a hard time. We're over like, oh, we can tell it's hard for you. I mean, every day, it's harder than you thought. What are you saying, man? I mean, here's the thing about that. You don't want to hear that from your barista. You know what I mean? You don't want to walk into a Starbucks. This barista thing is harder than I thought. Okay, I'm going somewhere else. Thank you. You've all seen that. And here's the other thing about that. It's not that you can't think that it's harder to be president than you thought, but you're not supposed to say it out loud. That's like the number one job of being president. Act like you've been there before, all right? That's the have a good poker face. Harder to be president than you thought. Oh, you thought it was going to be easy? It's harder than you thought. I'm like, if it's so hard, you can return to your regular life anytime you want to, Trump. I mean, as much as we're here in the Bay Area, and I know we have lots of complicated thoughts about Barack Obama, but at least he had a good poker face. At least he was able to go, yeah, I'm the president. This is how it goes. Yeah, just and he like stood up to anything. Yes, I'm the president. How's it going? What? Oh, yeah, I'm just doing the best I can. Yeah, everything's fine. What's that? You want to see my birth certificate? Okay, all right. Then he'd go behind closed doors. Ah, son of a mother! If he could handle that, you could handle this, Trump. I don't get it. Makes me sad. I miss, I just miss that, like, the having adults in the Oval Office. Not that I did agreed with them all the time, but I just missed having adults in the Oval Office, like grown-ups you could talk to and look at. People were sort of upset that the Obamas took such a long break. I'm like, I get it. They probably had to go to an island somewhere and just curse for like 6 months. Just somewhere like, son of a motherfucker, Trump, are you kidding? Oh. Michelle's like, Brock, you ready to go back? I'm not ready yet. So yeah, we got to talk about it, and there's a lot to talk about it. And tonight on the show, I believe we have the perfect panel to discuss these times. Welcome to Kamar Right Now. Give yourselves a round of applause. We've got some amazing guests to help us talk about what is going on in the world right now. My first guest is the executive director of the Institute for Diversity in the Arts at Stanford University. He's the co-founder of Culture Strike and Color Lines. He is also the author of the acclaimed books We Gonna Be All Right, Who We Be, and Can't Stop, Won't Stop, A History of the Hip Hop Generation. Please welcome my friend Jeff Chang. My next guest made a brief cameo at our show in January at Laney College in Oakland. She's the co-founder of the Anti-Police Terror Project. She's an actress, a writer, and an activist doing the good work every day. We are honored to welcome Kat Brooks to the stage, everybody. Kat Brooks. My last guest is making her second appearance on Come Out Right Now. She got booed last time. We'll ask her how it's been since then. She was named a comic to watch and an artist to watch by the SF Weekly. Please welcome my friend Natasha Muse.
Thank you
for coming to the show, everybody. So we like to talk about what's going on right now. And Jeff, there's been some big hip-hop albums that have come out recently. You are a hip-hop scholar. Is that the right term? You're laughing at my...
I just want to say that you're asking a middle-aged Asian Pacific Islander guy born and raised in Honolulu that question.
Yes, I am, yes. Welcome to Kamar Right Now. This is how we do it. I'm not going to ask the black person on stage about hip-hop. Here, we ask the Asian guy about hip-hop.
Yes,
don't act like you don't write books about hip-hop.
What's that?
Don't act like you don't write books about hip-hop.
I have.
Well, right now, this is an especially political moment. Me and you are around the same age, so we remember that 90s hip-hop that was a lot of it, especially in the early 90s, that was addressing politics in the moment. What do you think hip-hop's doing right now? How would you say?
I think hip-hop actually is...
How would you, Asian guy, judge all of hip-hop? There we go. All right.
Now, I think hip-hop's really stepped up. I mean, there's been a lot of great records that have come out in the last few years. And even just like in the last, whatever, month or so, you know, the J. Cole record has been really, really great. The Kendrick album has been really amazing. And I think, yeah. And I think what it is, you know, artists are reacting to the movement, to the movement for Black Lives, and they're reacting to the historical moment that we're in. So I've been digging my I still have an old school iPod.
Old school.
I've been
2008 edition, right?
Exactly. You know, like 64 gigs or whatever.
Yeah. Is Kendrick kind of like that book Infinite Jest where a lot of people have it but they don't all listen to it? You know what I'm saying?
It's funny because
you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to like Kendrick is kind of like the guy everybody like. Like, if you're, like, on Tinder, well, my favorite artists are Kendrick Lamar and,
Did you say Tinder?
Yeah, you know, like, it's, like, a good opening, like, you know, I'm pretty thoughtful. I listen to Kendrick
Lamar.
Yeah, on
Tinder,
I don't go on Tinder. I'm a married guy. I'm just sort of guessing what's happening on Tinder.
Okay.
I don't know how Tinder works.
No, I don't know it either. I don't know anything about Tinder either.
Let's keep talking about Tinder, then. That's a good use of our time tonight. I'm sure the audience is like, could you get more into the Tinder talk, old men? Yes. But you feel like hip-hop is doing the step in the work.
I think that hip-hop's doing the work right now. And I think all, you know, in the arts, that there's sort of a renaissance that's been happening because of social movements. Yeah. And so a lot of the discussions that are happening now in the contemporary arts feel really visceral because artists are taking risks, again, which is a beautiful thing, you know. Mm-hmm. People are, I think... really trying to go after a lot of the issues. So for me, hip-hop has been in that space for the last few years, and I'm looking forward to more of it. You know, for me, seeing what artists are able to do they're able to kind of envision alternatives to what we're seeing now in ways that we can't necessarily even think possible. So for me, like, Lemonade was an album about marital conflict, but it was also an album about, like, what could a better U.S. look like after truth and reconciliation. So
yeah, all right, I agree with what you're saying. I think what you're saying is Beyonce 2020. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Beyonce for president.
There we go.
Kat, these are you are with the Anti-Terror Project.
Am I saying? No, I'm with the Anti-Police Terror Project.
Yes. Every time I say it, I feel like my name's being put on a list. Anti-Police Terror Project. Every time I say it, I'm like, the CIA is definitely writing my name down right now.
Yes, they are.
So first of all, talk about what it's like to put that name on your organization, or to be a part of an organization with that name, and then you want to defund the Oakland Police Department.
So, you know, it's funny, when we created the organization about 3 years ago, like, there was a big battle, right, about that name. And everything else, I was willing to sort of, like, yes, we can move this or change this or alter that. But I was, like, determined about the name. I was like, no, this is what it is. We're going to call it what it is. And now people have shortened it to APTP, so now it just sounds like people are saying a virus. So I should have listened, right? Lesson learned. And so, yeah, so after the rape scandal, people called it a sex scandal, and it was a rape scandal because she was a child with Jasmine that involved multiple police departments, but a lot of officers out of the Oakland Police Department, APTP came forward with a demand to defund the Oakland Police Department by 50%. Yes. So OPD gets 43% of Oakland's general fund, right? In 2015, they murdered 7 black men with no accountability. Then they went on to rape a minor, right? They've been on federal receivership for 14 years. And so we started to ask the question, why are we giving 43% of our general fund to a department that can't get its entire life together, right? And how much more safe would we be if we actually redirected those funds to, I don't know, housing, education, social services, youth jobs and summer programs? And so right now we're actually asking for an independent audit of the Oakland Police Department. We want to know where that money is going, right? And there's so many things that they're doing with their time that we could employ civilians with, right? Like towing cars, going out on mental health calls. The average police officer who actually takes the training for mental health gets 15 hours, right? It's not mandatory. So if they decide to take it, they get 15 hours. A social worker who costs about a third of a cop has 6,800 hours of training. Right, so we could save money, and more importantly, we could save lives, right?
Yeah.
So that is the campaign right now. Oakland is going through a budgeting process. And just to show where the city's priority is, Mayor Libby Schaaf, we have a huge problem with unhoused folks in Oakland because of gentrification. Libby Schaaf put $250,000 in the budget to deal with unhoused folks in the city of Oakland. That is the cost of one police officer, right? So that part. So
I assume that wasn't a police officer. That was. Yeah.
No, they would have booed when I came out.
Oh, yeah. Not in this crowd. They probably don't want to be known they're here. Yeah. I would imagine you get a lot of pushback, or maybe you're doing this, but when people hear the phrase defund the police department, there's suddenly a fear of, like, but what do I do if there's no police department? So talk about what you mean by that specifically.
Right. So we're not saying no police. Well, eventually we're saying no police because we are abolitionists, but we're also clear that that's not going to happen tomorrow, right? That we have what we have. It took several hundred years to get here. We're not crazy. There are things that happen in our communities. We're clear that the systems of white supremacy create conditions that create people to make their living in the underground economy, right? So we're not talking about defunding right away. We are talking about radical reforms that will lead us to the road of abolition, right? We are talking about prioritizing our resources and putting it where mountains and mountains of research say actually keep us safe. And the truth is that in Oakland, this is from the city's own data, our crime levels have not dropped in 10 years. We are as violent now as we were 10 years ago, despite having increased policing again and again and again. So the logical conversation is, right, more police, existing levels of police, are not doing anything from crime, so maybe it's time to try something else.
All right, all right. And I'm going to... What can people do to assist you in that process? What can those of us who are not in the organization do to try to push this forward?
Well, if you live in Oakland, there are city council members are having their budget meetings in their districts right now, so come do that. We're going to have a big action at city council on May 30th. But you can also spread the word. You can join us on social media. You can retweet our tweets. You can engage in the public conversation about why more police don't make our communities safer.
All right. All right. Thank you. Kat Brooks, everybody. This segue is going to be worthy of Byron Allen on Comics Unleashed, for those of you who are familiar with that 2 o'clock in the morning show featuring comics. Those of you who don't know, you'll see in a minute. So, Natasha, you just got back from the dentist. Defund the OPD. Tell us your dentist story.
I know, I'm sitting here listening to this. I'm like, I have nothing. I don't understand. Okay, well, thank you for being real. Now I'm going to talk about my nonsense. Half of my mouth is numb right now. I just got to the dentist. And I think about teeth a lot. Do you guys think about teeth a lot? I'm like obsessed with teeth.
I think about teeth all the time.
Becca's saying she thinks about teeth often, yeah.
I thought that was God for a second, just like, okay, great. I'm not alone in this.
That time you weren't thinking about your teeth, that was God carrying you, yes.
These weird little symbols of like our, you know, class or who we are as people that are also tools just embedded in our mouth all the time. And it just, I don't know. I just, always thinking about them. I have really weird teeth. I have weird problems. I've had cavities since I was little. I think that because I went to the dentist when I was little and that was my first experience taking drugs. They would give me that nitrous, right? That sweet, sweet nitrous, you know, and your hands and your feet just feel like balloons. It's just a beautiful feeling. I think I purposely got more cavities when I was little.
Oh my God.
And I love the attention. I love having 2 or 3 people just staring at my face really intently, just working in there. And it, you know, it's like getting a really intense pedicure, you know, but like.
But in your mouth.
But in your mouth, yeah.
A mouth pedicure.
Right. It's a little, I know, like, I'm almost literally putting my foot in my mouth right now, but what is the point?
Did you take some of those drugs today at the dentist? I think that might be the point.
I think they don't give you drugs anymore. They don't give me drugs anymore. Now I'm just there for the pain. I don't really understand what it is. I think I take good care of my teeth, but now I, like, whenever I look at people, I'm always, like, kind of trying to look, and now you're all guarding your teeth. I just, like, will intently, like, look at people's teeth and try to figure out their life story. My mom's got her own teeth, but they're kind of strange looking. And then my dad has great looking teeth, but I don't think that they're actually his. And I have, like, I'm, like, a combination of my parents in that sense, where, like, my best looking teeth are probably fake.
My best looking teeth are probably fake is a good name for your one person show about your dental fears.
Thank you so much. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
better than whatever.
I go to the dentist enough to keep the teeth in my mouth.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Do you like going to the dentist?
No, really. I feel like it's always, they're always talking about you need to floss. I'm not flossing. I'm just not doing it.
I'm out.
I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it prevents cancer. I'm not flossing.
It's hard.
Or tell you what, I'll do it for 2 days after you tell me to floss. If I can get it all out then, I'm doing it. But I'm not doing it.
It feels good.
Do you see my face?
Maya Janelle over here. Give it up for Maya Janelle, everybody.
She's got nice teeth. I noticed that earlier.
She doesn't. Maya, you're not happy with me not flossing? Could you speak?
I floss every day.
Wow.
How many children do you have again? My flossing time has been, like, I take care of my kids' teeth better than mine because I'm like, I've given up in this mouth. I got to move on.
Well, yeah,
because
you got to. Right, so now I, like, floss, but only, like, when it's obvious for my kids. I'm like, see, mommy's flossing. I do this all the time, even when you're not looking.
So you're
looking.
Flossing, you're flossing is what you're doing. You're showing
yes,
off your flossing.
Exactly. I was
Thank
trying
you,
to,
three people, yes.
Trying to make that. Now I don't feel bad I didn't make that joke because it didn't. They would have just booed me.
Yes.
There was something else about it, but it doesn't matter. The point is...
If you just tuned in, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and I've been speaking with Natasha Muse, Jeff Chang, and Kat Brooks. This is Kamau right now on KALW, live from the Bayview Opera House in San Francisco! Thank you. Give it up for Mino Yancey. And people on the radio can't see this. I don't know if anybody in the house saw this, but while the music was playing, Nancy Armstrong Temple, who I talked about before we went on the air as being the wings beneath the show, literally ran by the stage, looked at Kat Brooks, was like, "You need some water?" And she said, "Yeah." Nancy Armstrong, who's not doesn't not work on the show officially, is going to get water for Kat Brooks. Give it up for Nancy Armstrong Temple, everybody. This is how communities are supposed to work, everybody.
That's how APTP rolls, come on.
That's, I guess so, yeah, yeah. We'll defund the police and we'll keep your mouth hydrated.
She offered me wine earlier, just so
in case anybody was worried.
So right. She knows where I'm at.
Nancy, I don't know how Nancy's not on staff. We'll talk about that later. All right, so the thing I've been thinking about right now is sort of summed up by one clip that went around all over the internet yesterday. Why don't we just play that clip right now if we can?
No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly.
Okay, so for those of you who are unaware or have been just recently come out of a long coma, that was President Donald Trump. Not my president, yes. Who is saying that no president in history, and I love this is my favorite part, and I say this with surety. And I feel like that was the part because he said that he tried that line on somebody off stage, like, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. So he had to double down on it. No, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I recognize a comic telling a joke he's not supposed to tell. And he said, I say this has been treated as poorly as he has. I'm just going to toss that out there to the panel. Anybody jump in where you want to jump in.
Just, you know, Nelson Mandela is probably snickering from his grave.
I don't know.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And, oh, wait, the birther movement was so above the belt. Right?
Yeah, that was all good. Yeah, yeah.
It's just bizarre. He continuously gets more and more absurd. Just when you think he can't not possibly top the last idiot thing he said, there's your president.
I want to wake up one morning, actually, and not have to deal with Trump tweets.
Yes, yes.
I mean, one thing that kind of like makes it okay is that I've got this program that makes the Trump tweets rendered in crayon, and
do you really?
And so like when you actually read it, and he misspells special counsel, it looks perfect. It's like exactly how it's supposed to be.
Oh,
done.
It's like I do with my like 5-year old. Good for you for trying to spell special counsel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, good work.
Is that a real program?
It's a real app, man. It's dope.
That's delightful. Yeah,
I need that in my life.
Yeah.
It just makes his tweets look like that.
What's that?
It just makes his tweets look like crayon.
Just makes his tweets
just
look like crayon.
Nice.
Yeah. There's so many others. It's true.
Something to check out.
Yeah.
I almost feel bad for Trump in a way.
Same one.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I just want to mark this moment down.
Number two.
You were working for that.
Where Natasha's gotten booed by the audience.
Because he is like the proverbial dog that caught the car that he's chasing. And he's just like this. We're seeing like what happens when the dog catches the car, like on the world stage. Like the dog has caught the car. He's like climbed inside. He somehow started it due to a glitch in the electoral system. Like, you're like, how does that dog, what is happening? He just is like this old man. He got what he thought he wanted, and he does not want it at all.
No.
He doesn't know how to let go of it. You know, he's just like, what's happening?
So he's a car, he's a dog in a car screeching down the highway going, ro-ro.
Yeah, exactly. He is ro-ro.
Ro-ro.
And then just like
whose
a dog.
Whose idea was this? Ro-ro.
For every human year that he is a president, he actually ages 7 dog years. So there is a little bit of relief knowing that. But I'm just going to try to make as many killer president jokes as I can until we can write some president killer jokes.
I'm in enough trouble with the state, so I'm just going to, you know, I don't know her.
Wow. When Kat Brooks says that's a bridge too far, and she's on lots of lists.
Listen, that part.
But how do we maneuver? It's hard to take him seriously while at the same time you have to take him seriously. I think that I have friends who are like, I'm just not going to pay attention. Well, then you're going to miss a lot, and you're going to wake up one day and it's going to be awful. You know what I mean? So how do you engage in this in a productive way?
Yeah, exactly.
Crickets, right?
Exactly.
Crickets, wow.
Three befuddled looks. Just no, not
I mean,
even.
I mean, like right now there's this sort of talk, there's this bubbling talk of impeachment.
Yeah.
No, can't. Everybody's
why
saying,
aren't people cheering though for that? Like, there should be more cheers for that.
No.
Impeachment?
Mike Pence is the devil.
Well,
I mean, I just need us to like be really clear that Donald Trump goes, Mike Pence takes office, and he is going to implement the agenda minus the buffoonery, right? And actually, there's a part of me that is like, well, if Trump can make it the 4 years, and I don't know, right, how long this can go on, yeah. But he actually presents an amazing opportunity for us, right? Because by the time he's done, mm-hmm. there's a good chance he's going to swing a lot of the people that went this way back that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as organizers, we have to see this as an opportunity, right, to be building our movements and be ready for to take advantage of all of the amazing opportunities he is giving us.
Okay.
I just like that's some amazing like Star Wars level chess there, like or Star Trek 3 level chess.
I
just love the idea that at some point there could be a movement to impeach Trump and you would be in the streets. No! You're gonna screw up our opportunity.
So you're saying
I agree, but I think the counter argument is in building a movement to impeach Trump, because it's not going to take like 6 months. It's going to take a while to get to that point that you've got a movement that's moving, that you've got folks actually organizing towards a particular type of goal.
But do we want folks organizing towards impeaching Trump, or do we want folks organizing how to stop ICE? Do we want folks organizing, right?
I feel like
there's places I want to put my energy as an organizer, and there's places I want to see the movement build and blossom, and I don't know that I want to focus on that fool. I want to focus on the impact he's having on our people, right? And empower the people to deal with that in some very concrete ways.
And I don't think it's either or. I think it's both at the same time. I think folks are organizing against ICE,
indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, ICE has increased the number of arrests by 40% over Obama, who is the deporter-in-chief, right?
Laid the pathway for Trump to do what he's doing.
And so, you know, we've got to be able to do all these types of things, but I don't think that it's one or the other. I think it's both at the same time. And I think that building a movement is exactly the kind of way that you bring to the fold these folks who have been alienated and left out.
Yeah. So,
I'm trying to...
I love how nuanced this conversation has gotten. This is so Bay Area.
We do this all the time.
Like, we do, and that's the thing. You have to be an interrupter because Jeff and I will go and like
we'll
never stop.
No, that's good. That's good. I like the show when I don't have to talk. Keep it going. Yes.
I like the idea that it's like a Star Wars thing, and he's just like a big Jar Jar Binks, just kind of bumbling around this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
He's just like so confused. He's like, why are you even part of this? Like, we don't even know how we got here.
I love the fact that ultimately this boils down to which is worse for society. Like a dog in a car screaming down the highway, or Satan. That's what we're trying to figure out here.
Exactly.
Or organized evil. Yeah, yeah. So I want to throw things over to Maya Janelle over here at the social media desk. Give it up for Maya Janelle, everybody. Maya has a story that she wants to share with us.
Yes, so the San Francisco Chronicle published a story last week about a high school math teacher, Etoria Cheeks, who became homeless for several months after she was evicted from a room she was renting in Daly City due to that home going into foreclosure. Her salary of $65,000 wasn't enough for her to find housing in San Francisco proper. She was living in hostel bunk beds. She spent one night in a homeless shelter. Eventually, a retired teacher from the teachers union took her in, but she's still technically, I believe, homeless as of last week, meaning she does not have a lease anywhere or permanent housing. So I actually reached out to her on LinkedIn. I didn't hear back, but I was just wondering, where are the resources for the teachers in San Francisco? And I know Mayor Ed Lee announced $44 million for funding in teacher housing to be located in the Outer Sunset, but that won't be available for occupancy for at least 4 years. So essentially, the rent is too darn high.
Once again, the rent is too darn high. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that you would have to subsidize teacher housing instead of just paying them a living wage.
I I mean, not to double down on our campaign, right? But this is exactly what we're talking about, where cities are putting their resources, right? Police officers aren't being evicted from their homes, right? Police officers aren't having difficulty figuring out where to live because the Bay Area, across the Bay Area, it's not just Oakland, right? It's across the Bay Area. We pay law enforcement insane amounts of money. Insane amounts of money. In fact, that is Oakland's response to us when we say you're paying OPD too much money. They say, but everybody in the Bay Area pays their police too much money. What? Right? Like, that's not the answer. The answer is redirecting these resources. That was my daughter's teacher. My daughter's teacher was, I was like, what are you doing this summer? And she was like, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to live because she could no longer afford to live in the city that she teaches in, right? We show our values by where we put our resources, right? And our city government should be ashamed.
Absolutely.
And I think this is also one of the things that we can note here is she's an African American teacher, right? And there's been a huge and Christina Rizga from the Mother Jones has actually been writing about this. There's been a huge decline in blacks in teaching over the last decade because of a lot of these kinds of issues. There's a whole number of issues. It's a very complicated type of issue, but these are exactly the kinds of folks that we need in our public schools at this particular point when so much money and quite frankly, a lot of white folks are fleeing the public school system. The Bay Area has some of the most desegregated or the most segregated schools in the entire state. And I think that that's something that it's very shocking, actually, for those of us who live here, thinking that we live in this sort of multicultural paradise. But in fact, the schools here are much more segregated than they are even in Los Angeles. And so the fact is if you look at what's happened over the last 25, 30 years, we've had the sort of lack of support for a black middle class here and a displacement that's moving like a domino type of effect, so that Oakland is now the fifth highest rental market in the country. San Francisco is number one, but Oakland's number five now, right? Oakland. And folks are being forced to move further and out to Antioch, to Oakley, you know.
And those prices are going up, right? Like, so the black people that are getting pushed out of Oakland, like, yeah. So then Stockton went, oh, dope. Well, now we'll double our rents because you're here, right? So it's just, it's awful. Yeah. It's really, it's absurd.
It's a domino chain of madness and badness.
I just want to know, where's the spot where all the cool people are going to end up at? Can we just go there now? You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, can we all agree on some spot in the country where we're all just going to rebuild here? Jackson, Mississippi?
Cooperation Jackson.
All right. Is that the spot? Jackson, Mississippi.
Mississippi.
What did you say? Okay, we're going to talk to the audience. And actually, right now, I want to talk to somebody out in the audience who actually knows a lot about this issue. We have a special guest here tonight, Ken Trey, who's the political director of the United Educators of San Francisco and a social studies teacher for 27 years.
Oh, come on.
Mr. Professor Dr. Trey, I don't know how to address you.
Ken is pretty good.
Mr. Professor Doctor.
Mr.
The Ken. Good Mr. Professor Dr. Reverend Trey. So speak to these issues about like this teacher.
Yeah, the social media whiz said, where's the funding? Where? Look that way. Look in those hills, that crazy Salesforce building, which is a gajillion stories high. It's worth millions and millions. They're not paying fair share property taxes. Most of those folks are not sending their kids to the public schools. And that's where the funding for schools should be coming from. We just want the corporate property folks to pay their fair share. Hopefully, we'll get to them in the ballot in 2018. People here think corporate property should pay fair share taxes?
Woo! This is the geekiest crowd ever. Yeah! Corporate property should pay fair share taxes.
Look,
yes.
Come on. When I started teaching in 85, there was no existential angst about housing. If you lived at 18th and Guerrero and got evicted, you moved to 19th and Dolores. But if you went to a school site today, that's what you would hear in the teacher's lounge. The housing crisis is really a major issue for San Francisco schools. We're having 700 teachers leave the district this year. A lot of those folks are like Toria, the math teacher, just being forced out of town. Thank God a retired San Francisco teacher offered her a place to live, but she's leaving. We're losing an African-American math teacher, and as the folks were just saying, that's a major loss for this city. And let's right the wrong.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Reverend Ken Trey. Appreciate you. And also, I hope, Maya, that we hear back from her. I feel like if there's something we can do, we on this show can do to help her, me personally can do, I would like to do that. We're going to have to leave this part right here. This has been Kamau Right Now on KALW. Give it up, everybody. I've been speaking with Kat Brooks, Natasha Muse, and Jeff Chang. We'll hear more from them in a moment. But now it's time for a little more music. Give it up for Mino Yancey. Man, now I know how Jimmy Fallon feels. My band is way more talented than I am. All right, here we go. He knows that, everybody. That's not a diss. All right, let's check in with our social media desk again. Give it up for Becca Hoekstra and Maya Janelle.
Hey, hi,
Kamau.
Hi, everyone.
Becca, what's going on Twitter?
Yeah, we've got a bit of stuff coming in on our hashtag. Thank you very much, everyone, for tweeting at us. We've got this first one from @PursuitOfArette. Between Rompergate and Russiagate, I feel like these detachable jeans didn't get the coverage they truly deserve. And so we've got a picture of a model wearing what looks like a denim diaper and then some, like, clip-on leg bits. And it's just, it's kind of uncomfortable just to look at.
That was my Coachella outfit, actually.
Looks like what happens when jeans go wrong is what's happening here. So there has been a lot of talk, I don't know if people follow this level of Twitter, with there's a new thing out called Rompers for Him.
Romp Hims. Everyone's heard of
Romp
it.
Romp Hims, is that what they're called? Romp Hims? Which Romp, are, I
Romp
mean, I,
Hims.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, Maya, you describe it, I don't know, or Becca, you describe, I don't know how to describe it.
It's just a romper just on a guy, and it's not like it's a new fashion. Like, we were talking about this earlier, me and Maya, and we're pretty unimpressed with the whole, like, craziness about it. Like, what's the big deal?
It's a coverall. Yeah. Mechanics, pilots.
But it's a coverall where you cut
uncle,
the shorts. Where it's a coverall with shorts.
It is. Okay, so they cut the legs off, yes.
I will say it makes just more sense for dudes to wear rompers because, like, if you're wearing a romper, you have to get completely naked to go to the bathroom,
yeah,
unless you have, you know, some external business going on. So, I don't know.
So
maybe
saying,
they should have had them the whole time. I'm fine sharing.
It's really an outfit for a baby, if we're being honest. It's for a baby.
Can I say what I like about this ad, though?
No, Jeff Chang, I have so much respect and love for you. Please don't.
I don't like it, but I just wanted to point out that the model looks like Ally Sheedy in Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a really interesting mashup.
The look on her face is when Ally Sheedy found out she was going to be playing a loser. She has that, like, is this what I'm modeling? Okay, all right. That, sure.
I've just accepted with fashion that I'm getting old, right? Because my daughter, I mean, I'm having those conversations with my kid now. I get her from school and she's wearing something. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Right? She's got this shirt with just one hole in it, right?
Yeah.
It's trending, Mom. Okay. Right? Like, I don't...
I have to say,
I'm too old to understand rompers. Is where I'm going with this.
Are those button thigh jeans?
So yeah, there's a debate about how the bottom part of the jeans, which look like just denim leggings, attach to the denim diaper part. Which is, you know, denim diaper is not a phrase you want to hear. First you put on the denim diaper, then you attach them. Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I'm going to wear these. I do, the romper thing caught me off guard, but I do, as a person who doesn't like to pick out clothes, I do like just being able to grab one item of clothing and hit the road. So I might have to look into the romper, everybody. Next, come out right now.
It might be good for the Bay Area because, you know, different microclimates, you know, like in the morning it's cold in San Francisco, but it could be really hot by the afternoon.
Nice. I think we just got your Shark Tank idea, Jeff Chang.
They need those for, like, slacks for the business people, you know, who ride their bikes to work and they don't want to get their pant legs caught up in the gears. So you put your legs on when you get to work.
Safety.
All right.
Safety pants.
Now we even have a name for our Shark Tank idea. This is how it works, everybody. Anything else over there, Becca, that we're seeing on Twitter that we should address other than fashion trends?
Right. We've got this one from @JenSiegel. I was asking people, like, if they have something to give, like, what can we share between ourselves as a community? And she says, I'm giving free organic veggie seeds and gardening advice to all interested, including shipping. They can DM me. So @JenSiegel, JenSiegale, if you want to start a garden, because that's pretty amazing. Like, here's some advice. I think it's pretty cool that someone is offering this resource.
No, I know Jen. That's cool. Jen's all about it. I know Jen. I can vet Jen as a person who actually is an organic gardener. So don't be afraid of getting seeds in the mail. I just want to say that. That doesn't sound like the best idea. Send me some seeds in the mail. Woo! But Jen, actually,
Is that the dog driving the car again?
Yes. What else we got over there, Becca?
This one is kind of more on the serious side. @AnthroCubology asks, for all on the panel, thoughts or reactions to Alex Tizon's article in The Atlantic, My Family's Slave, Ari Lola, and Eduacio Tomas Pulido. I don't know if any of you read that article, but it's basically this guy, I believe he moved from the Philippines, and growing up, like, his family had a slave. They had a woman working in their house, doing all their laundry, cooking all their meals, with no pay, and she was, like, constantly harassed by, like, his parents and stuff like that. And so it was kind of the author was already dead, but it was kind of just, like, him telling her story and kind of, like, what he saw of it and just wondering what he should have done or if there's anything he should have done better. And just, like, so it was kind of like, I'm guilty, what do I do now? But also, like, this happened in his lifetime, which was, like, not that long ago.
Well, yeah, I think when he says, what should I do? First, I'm just going to take a step. Don't have a slave. I'm just going to lean into that conversation.
Step one.
I'm just going straight in there. I don't know all that. I have not read the article, but I think the first thing you should do is probably not have a slave.
Step one.
I don't have group agreement on that. Some of you are arguing against that. Rents are expensive in the Bay Area. Come on, technically, room and board is not a slave. But also, the thing is, and this is what I've learned on my other show, United Shades of America, we did a show about immigrants and refugees, and that we talked to this woman, Ruby Corrado, who had the similar situation, was a slave in somebody's house. We just, that exists in this country way more than we realize, that people are being taken advantage of who come from different countries, especially when they get here without legal status. Yeah.
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 So we're all against slavery.
We're all against slavery, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty...
The first thing we've agreed on. Flossing, we broke into a fist fight, but now...
Pretty bold stance.
Anti-slavery, yeah.
What I thought was interesting about it is just, like, seeing that as a kid and, like, wondering what you can do about it when you're a child and, like, you know your parents are treating this person wrongly, but, like, just, I don't know.
Now, was that part of like what was happening in other households at the time? I haven't read this article. I don't know.
He actually did say that, like, yeah, it was something he tried to hide because it was something that him and his Filipino family did, but like it wasn't something that like his friends in high school did at all. So yeah, it was just this one family that he knew of. I don't know. Yeah,
I think it's an issue that people, it's like a lot of things happening right now. We think they're happening in one specific example of it, but really it's just a window into a whole world that we're not talking about enough. And in this current era of America, where I think we learned in the last era of America, pre the election, we were all sort of, a lot of us were in our own silos, not looking outside of ourselves, that this era of America is about looking outside of yourselves, talking to people, building community, and going, hey, it looks like your family has a slave. Is that a slave you have? Can I talk to you about how that's not a good idea? Do we have to be able to have those conversations? Yes. Anything else over there, Becca?
Yeah, we got here. This is a quick and easy one. At Fitz the Reporter. Hey, what's on Jeff Chang? What's on your hypothetical hip-hop mixtape, CD, MP3 playlist for the real Donald Trump resistance?
Let's open that up to the group.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, everyone.
Oh, every time. That's what they want to know. They want to know what Jeff Chang is listening to.
He's a tastemaker. He's a trendsetter.
You are. You're a trendsetter.
Again.
He's an influencer. He's the Questlove of the Bay Area.
FDT. Yes.
Is that a thing?
That's,
I don't know.
On the
what
playlist.
That is.
Yeah, you could guess what FDT stands for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes. Is that a song?
Yes, it's a song. It's a movement. It's a T-shirt. I'm sure.
Yes.
It's maybe a sneaker. I don't know.
Yeah. What song? What song are you listening to right now? Oh, you just got it, Natasha.
FDT.
Yeah. FDT. What did I? Oh, okay.
Let's not say it out loud. We don't get fined. But what songs do you listen to right now to get you like hyped for the revolution, or get you sort of through your day, or to as a lotion or a salve to help you soothe your ashy areas? The ashy areas of your soul. I think that's a Gwendolyn Brooks poem. Not really.
I'm at peak mom right now. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, so we're just basically Moana all the time. There's nothing
wrong with Moana.
No. I'm not complaining about Moana, but it doesn't really send you out into the streets, you know, begging for, you know, demanding change. It's finding who you are as a person and, you know, discovering that the strength is inside of you.
I've got my kid, my daughter, my oldest daughter likes Moana. We've seen it a couple times. There are times I listen to the Moana soundtrack for no other reason than I need to hear that song. It's like, that's
right.
Because, I'm not trying to condescend. I don't. What is the big? It's like I can't think of the song. It calls me, and no one knows how far it goes. There's a wind and a din and a din. It finds me, and no one knows how it goes. And you hit the high note. Yeah, I'm all about it. Where was the band to kick in on the Moana song? No, it's all right.
The looks they were given.
You're welcome. All right. Thanks, Becca and Maya. We'll hear from them later, so keep tweeting us at hashtag Kamau right now. And let's take another reset and come back in a minute. Sure, we'll do that. Yeah. Hey, everybody, thank you. This is Kamau Right Now. And we're at the part of the show where we're going to check in with the people here at the Bayview Opera House. We're doing things differently in this era of America. In addition to finding out what the people in this room think, we want to find out what the people in this room need and want. Jeremy, our audience emissary, can you please explain that more to these people?
Yes, I can. Please explain it, Kamau. So we passed out some cards earlier that asked what people needed in the past with different audience interactions. We found we were able to help some people. We wanted to make some more connections. I think in the past we found help to find someone a wedding dress. In the past we found someone an opportunity to be on our show with us.
Yes, we actually gave out a job one time. So anything can happen. This is like Oprah on a budget, everybody. So if you need something, if you want something, as long as it's not, you'll get a car. You're not going to get a car, but you might get like something less than a car.
So the first one I have is from Gene in SF. Gene says Gene wants a revolution, but also says Gene wants salty snacks. I thought the salty snacks might be an easy start.
Yes, where's Gene in SF? Where's Gene in SF? Gene in SF, I'm coming that way. I got to walk through here. Excuse me, everybody. I got to walk through here. How did Phil Donahue do it? Gene in SF, how are you doing?
Good, good, good.
So you want a revolution?
Yes.
What does a revolution look like to you? What do you think that if you could have the revolution of your dreams, how would that look?
I'd start by smashing the patriarchy.
All right. Now my question, when somebody hears that, am I the patriarchy? I just need to know if I need
no.
to turtle up. Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
You're okay.
It's fine if I am. I'll take the hit if it's deemed I'm the patriarchy. We'll have to. Hey, wait a minute. We just got salty snacks. What's your name, sir?
Brian.
Brian just brought over some pumpkin seeds, a healthy salty snack option.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, Brian? Are you kidding me? Is that a good salty snack?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing it, everybody. This is Change Your Life Radio. I think Oprah's going to sue me. Who else? What do we got, Jeremy?
Okay, this is from JJ, who's in Danville, and SF. This is something I know less about, and probably you two, too, but someone else might be able to help. It's, I'm getting an IUD tomorrow. I need stronger pain meds to prep for this, a week off to adjust.
All right. Come over here. What's your name?
JJ.
JJ, step in. So, JJ, you're getting an IUD inserted? Is that how it works?
Yes, it's all the rage now. Everyone's doing it. Super stressed out, but, like, ready to join in. But, like, I heard that hurts a lot.
A little bit stressed. So, are IUDs making a comeback? I don't even know if they went away. Is that a thing?
Yeah, they definitely are. You know, they've changed it, and they have, like, less hormonal ones now, and, like, it works better. And I go to UCSF, and they're so big about talking to us about all of our options, especially with, you know, what's happening with Planned Parenthood and, like, how much birth control pills cost. So, like, literally, like, everyone's doing it.
Everyone's doing it.
All the kids. Only the cool kids, of course. And I'm, like, trying to be cool.
All the men are buying romp hymns, and all the women are getting IUDs.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So you need some stronger pain medication.
Or a mantra. Just anyone to tell me that it's not going to be the most painful thing I can do besides give birth.
Which is all anyone says.
I need some strength.
You need some strength. Somebody's pointing to someone here. Is this okay that you're being pointed at?
Hi. Cannabis. Whoopi and Maya products. It's a female cannabis line just for women that it's for menstruation, pain, all of that.
Wait, what? Say it again.
Whoopi and Maya cannabis products.
Whoopi and Maya cannabis products.
Yeah. By and Whoopi Goldberg and Maya Elizabeth.
Whoopi Goldberg is in this business?
Like, I'm like, are you sure? Like, wait, one more time. Like, yeah.
Whoopi and Maya. I'll talk to you after.
Okay, you'll hook it up. Oh, you'll hook it up. And if anybody has some on them, I can't... anybody's, hey, willing to share, let us know. This is great. This is the best thing we've ever done.
This one's a little bit trickier. Clan Asa says that they need a cure for loneliness.
Oh, who needs a cure for, who is this?
Clay and SF.
Clay? Are you too lonely to even say you need a cure for loneliness? Oh, here we are. All right, excuse me, coming through here. All right, it's like a plane. You got to leave, you got to stow your seat. Hey, what's up, Clay? Step up, Clay.
Hello.
First of all, let's hug it out.
Hi.
So, what's going on, Clay?
You know, just the way the world is right now. Everybody just seems so isolated and distant, and we're losing connections faster than you can count.
And we're losing faster than we can build them.
Yeah.
Right? So, do you live here in San Francisco?
I do. I live about a mile from here.
You live about a mile from here? Okay. So, you live about how long have you lived here?
Almost 5 years.
Almost 5 years. Okay. In the about a mile from the Bayview. Are you a gentrifier?
No.
Okay. I just have to ask.
Did the lights just go down on us?
The lights just went down. Yes.
Yeah.
So you're willing to hang out with people who aren't just your skin tone?
Right.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. So is there a coffee shop in this neighborhood that you like to attend?
Yeah, there's several.
Okay. Who here would like to go to a coffee shop during the daytime when there's people around? Just because we don't know these people. Who would like to go to Clay's favorite coffee shop, have some coffee, talk about the revolution? Wait, somebody over there, I'm coming over there. Give it up for the person over there. Gotta go. I see your arm up. Here you go.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Dewana Stewart.
What is it?
Duana.
Hi, so Duana.
This is like old school Tinder. You're just sort of waving each other from across the room. Not that it has to be romantic. It can be just friends, like that Craigslist thing that never gets any hits. So you're willing to go to, like, have a coffee during the daytime with Clay?
Sure.
All right.
Only if my boyfriend says okay.
Only if your boy, yes, sure. Only if your boyfriend says so, yes. But we will agree that it will be during the day and there'll be people around. But just to talk. Yeah. This is not romance. This is the revolution.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
All right. What's that? Okay, all right, let's go over there. So we got that. Okay, hold on a second. Who said volunteer to nonprofit?
Miss Janetta.
Right here, I'm coming up here. Who said that?
That's Miss Janetta. You need to know who this sister is.
Okay,
right here.
All right,
that's
you
Miss Janetta.
Every Tuesday night at 234 Eddy Street at TGIJP, which stands for Transgender, Gender Variant, Intersex Justice Project, we correspond with transgender folks that are in prison, and we provide a lot of political information and everything, and you can show up every Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m., 234 Eddy Street.
Find me after the show.
234 Eddy Street? And you just show up and you just volunteer. What are the jobs that are available to volunteer for?
Corresponding to people in prison, sending love, support, political education, and empowerment.
That's fantastic.
Give it up. Thank you, everybody. And what was your name again?
Thanks, Clay.
Janetta Johnson.
Janetta Johnson. Give it up for Janetta Johnson, everybody. Thank you.
Just wanted to say thanks. It looks like we are trending as well. We've got our hashtag trending in the area.
Our hashtag is trending. That means this is really happening. Everybody, the work that we do tonight, the talking, the connecting, don't just do it right now in here. Talk to people in here. Everybody talk to Clay. Set up some more coffee dates. Volunteer. Also connect with Janetta about volunteering. Please, we have to keep doing it. It's not about the show. It's about what happens outside the show. Let's build some communities. Thank you, everybody. That's our show. I want to thank our wonderful guests once again, Natasha Muse, Jeff Chang, and Kat Brooks. Thank you to the lovely and historic Bayview Opera House in San Francisco. Support the Bayview Opera House. Keep it here. Thank you to the Old School Cafe right here in the heart of the Bayview neighborhood. Support them too. The Come Out Right Now team is James Rollins, Maya Janelle, Jeremy Dalmas, Becca Hoekstra, Phil Sergis, Mac Jacobs, and the beautiful Matt Martin. Music by Mino Yancey. Come Out Right Now is a production of KALW. For those in the audience, stay with us. We've got more coming up. If you're on the radio, you can catch the rest of the podcast. So go subscribe to Come Out Right Now. I'm W. Kamau Bell. Thank you so much and good night.